Akil Badu, a home run on his first pitch ever. Grand slam in his second game ever. Walk-off win in his third game ever. A start we haven't seen since Emily Kaplan won her first show. And Clinton Yates won his first show. Also, I stole the talent up here. Let's go.
Thank you for here.
Nike suspending their sponsorship deal with Deshaun Watson. Beats headphones suspending their sponsorship deal with Deshaun Watson. The number of women who are involved in filing civil suits or alleging sexual misconduct against Watson now at nearly 24. Tim Kalishaw, how do you consider Nike's action today? And are you expecting, do you believe it's time for the NFL to make a statement and take action?
I believe it's approaching time for the NFL, Tony. I think there's three different levels. Sponsors are going to be the first ones to act in things like that. When there's anything that suggests questionable behavior from one of their top clients, court of laws are going to be the last thing to act. Somewhere in between is the NFL's ability to kind of put him off to the side. And that's not a finding of guilt. That's simply a way of, I don't know, dismissing it for them for now and letting the courts and what has to come next decide all this. You know, when this started out, we weren't sure what to make of the lawyer and the one accusation. It has grown to such a point. They are going to have to do something fairly soon. This is a massive accusation against one of their star players.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, at first it was 22 anonymous women seemingly coming out of nowhere, a lawyer seemingly with an agenda putting things on Instagram. And I get why people wanted to give Deshaun Watson the benefit of the doubt, but the stakes have changed. Jenny Rentes, a journalist that I work closely with and admire, gave voice to one of the victims. And listening to Ashley Salas speak yesterday, fighting through tears, talking about the panic attack she's experienced since she was assaulted by Deshaun Watson. I mean, the bravery and vulnerability that takes, her life will never be the same now that she's attached her name to it. So if we're serious about believing women and listening to women, well, here they are. Now's your chance to act. And now the burden falls on Deshaun Watson, and he's got a lot of explaining to do.
You spoke of Solis's allegation, Emily. Do you believe an NFL statement is forthcoming here, needs to happen in the near future?
Now that there's faces to it, there's women attached to it, yes.
Frank Isola?
Well, there is a presumption of innocence in this country, but remember, private companies don't have to operate that same way. Nike is not, Beats by Dr. Dre are not operating like that, and the NFL doesn't have to operate like that. We saw that with Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. So the one thing the NFL still kind of has on their side is time. The season doesn't begin until September. I'm sure they'd love to have something figured out before training camp starts. But remember, there was a report about how the attorney, the accusers, had been talking to the NFL. So I think the NFL is progressing towards something where, at the very least, I think you'll see a suspension with pay until they gather more information.
Mm-hmm. And Clinton Yates, your view of it?
At the very least, if the NFL does something, what it does is it acknowledges what is actually happening. And when you deal with institutional powers, oftentimes that's the issue. Nothing is acknowledged until somebody is punished or otherwise completely exonerated from something. And that is the problem overall, is that, you know, you think about all of these women who speak up all the time and people who will jump to say this or jump to say that. If the NFL acts like it's not real, well, then you have another discussion. But they are in this situation. If they say something, I think that's why it's important, because what happens between Watson and the Texans, what happens between Watson and his accusers, what happens between the Texans and the rest of the league, that's a different story. But if the league acts as if they don't know what's going on because they don't have the evidence, it's 2021. It's too late to be acting as if that's a reasonable way to conduct yourself. Mm-hmm.
Tim, is there something you want to add?
Well, I mean, I just think the longer the league goes, there's a different feeling. Like, they are ignoring them. Like, they are thinking, we're bigger than everybody. We don't have to worry about this stuff. So I do think, I don't know, in the next week or so, I would expect them to make some kind of move on this front.
We move on. The Masters tomorrow. But today at Augusta, Chairman Fred Ridley.
I don't think that my opinion on this legislation should shape discussion. As I stated in my previous comments, I believe, and I'm confident that every member of this club believes, that voting is an essential fundamental right in our society.
The spotlight on the club after Major League Baseball decided to move the All-Star game this summer from Georgia because, as baseball wrote in their statement, they opposed restriction to the ballot box. Ridley would go on to say how the club serves the community and spoke about the opening this week of a community center would be how they best address everything in entirety. Consider that while you hear Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Corey Morikawa among those players speaking out this week. McIlroy telling Christine Brennan he'd like to be respectful because he's from another country, but voters, quote, should be able to do it in the easiest way possible. Morikawa saying Monday the voting issue is very important and that he thinks the topic should be something they talk about, but it shouldn't be about talking about whether they pull out of the Masters or not. That we do such a good job here with helping the community, that matters, but he does believe the conversation should be had. Clint Yates, how do you consider what Augusta National said and didn't say today, and how do you hear what players have said or maybe didn't say?
I actually found this to be very classy, considering we're looking at one of the, again, institutions sports-wise in America that's the closest thing we have to sort of our antebellum past that we actually just accept as reasonable, considering what everything else has happened in this country from a progress standpoint. For a place that used to be run by a guy named Hootie, this actually came out sounding like they understand what's happening in the world today. I'll commend Rory McIlroy for going, you know, full Enzo from The Godfather, I believe in America, and just the voices we heard at all were something that to me was kind of surprising. I thought this was going to be unaddressed entirely because they are a private club and they have the right to do that. But the fact that it's a discussion whatsoever at this stage of the Masters before we played any golf, it was pretty impressive. I'm not saying I'm looking to Augusta to try to change voting rights or voting laws in America, but I can tell you that this was not off-putting and I was afraid it would be.
If I can ask a follow-up, Clinton, you spend a good chunk of your time covering Major League Baseball and reading baseball statement and the fallout from that, either way, on baseball's decision to leave Georgia. And then seeing the Masters today make this statement, do you believe they projected a different way that is a good way, a positive way?
I think so, but I think Major League Baseball is doing something different. Major League Baseball is saying, we can't have this. When you have images of black women getting dragged out of the state capitol and you're bringing showcase events there, you can't do it that way if you expect people to take you seriously. Augusta's in Georgia. It's a home front issue. It's a local matter. And for them to address it in a way that described what's happening actually on the ground, if nothing else, it makes sense beyond being sort of bombastic about what you're trying to be overall in America.
Tim, how did you hear Ridley today?
Like Clinton did. I mean, I was going there when Hootie Johnson was wrestling with the issue of not having any female members, and he didn't handle that quite as adroitly and maybe as sincerely as Fred Ridley did today. There's a lot there, and there's one part of it that I think Fred Ridley kind of almost gets to, and Colin Morikawa does, which is you can be against something and think something is really wrong and still think a boycott isn't the right way to go. Mm-hmm. Because a boycott has repercussions, and Augusta, Georgia is not largely a wealthy town, and this week a lot of small businesses make a lot of money that they don't make at other times off that tournament. That is something you have to consider when you're talking about just canceling something or moving an event out of there, and that's why I think the Masters is doing the right thing.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, like when I think of Augusta and I think of the Masters, I think of the greatest tournament in golf, but I also think of a club that didn't allow a black person in until 1990 or women in until 2012. And so when Georgia becomes this cultural flashpoint for voting rights and the golf world descends on it, like Clinton and like Tim, I expected the silence that you hear on a putting green. Like, I expected nothing. So hearing him talk about it, I feel like is progress, but like so many times in golf, the progress is just slower than the rest of society. And if you're really serious about making your sport more inclusive and more diverse, you can't just say, well, we disagree with it and we can't boycott it and our hands are tied and we just want to have the tournament. There's stuff you can do.
And Frank Isola.
Well, let's operate from here. There was no way they weren't going to hold this tournament, number one, in Augusta. So let's begin there. Also, there are a lot of smart people there. He broached the topic. He knew it was going to come up, so he headed off at the pass, and he was ready for any questions that were going to be asked about it, and he did handle himself very well. But how is it any different having the golf tournament there than the Braves having 81 home games and the Atlanta Hawks having 36 home games this year, the Atlanta Falcons having 8 or 9 home games, however many they're going to get? To me, it's so different. They were going to hold this event, and like he said, it's going to help the community at large. And as for the players, this goes back to Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. We all want the players to talk about stuff. Not every athlete feels comfortable going down this road. The ones that did addressed it. Other ones don't want to go down that road. Sorry.
In the week since Major League Baseball pulled out of Georgia, do you believe, well, Frank, let me ask you specifically, do you believe that was a decision baseball, who now, they live with that, they moved to Colorado for the All-Star game this time around, but do you believe that puts them in a position where they now have to voice their opinion on all sorts of issues?
Well, remember, exactly, because it's a one-off event. It's there, and then it doesn't have to be back there for another 30 years, however many baseball teams and cities you have. But remember, they move it to Colorado, and then I'm reading stuff about Colorado's laws are just as tough. New York is the same thing. So to me, the whole issue gets confusing once you start opening up that Pandora's box.
Well, to that particular point about the laws, laws are different everywhere, and everybody's picking one part out of one law and one part out of another law.
Yep.
And to someone else's point, this was no one's expert on everything here, but Clinton Yates, you wanted to add to that. I know we have to move on, but please.
Yeah, I don't need to look to Major League Baseball to be setting the precedent on every single thing about voting rights in this country. I am okay with them being reactionary in this case because, again, it shows acknowledgement of something that's going on in America. You don't have to have all the answers immediately, but if you see there's a problem and you want to eject for what you believe to be decent reasons of human rights, that's fair for me, and I'm not necessarily going to hold you to every single thing afterwards if you're doing it in an honest way.
Thanks for your thoughts on this. Maybe we'll continue this conversation at some other point. Right now, I do want to talk about the tournament. Dustin Johnson's the defending champion. DeChambeau trying to beat the course. Kepka's on a bad knee. Spieth coming off a win for the first time in years. John Rahm is a dad, so he doesn't have to think about whether he's going to get the call on the back nine on Sunday. Frank, you got Dustin Johnson right in November. Who's your favorite this time around?
I always tell you, Tony, what do I like in the Kentucky Derby? A fast horse. And in this one, the course is going to be fast. So I'm going for the biggest horse out there, Bryson DeChambeau. He's going to turn par fives into par fours. And also, watch out for Justin Thomas. Finished fourth in November. And he's Tiger Woods' buddy. Maybe that'll factor in.
Emily Kaplan.
I like Justin Spieth. I know that he's had a roller coaster mystifying 4 years, but he seems to be the only guy coming into this tournament peaking right now. And he gets to play at a course that he plays well at. It's conducive to a short game. He has an average score of 70.64 at Augusta. That is the lowest score of anyone who's had 25 rounds there.
Is that right?
Redemption story we all need in 2021.
Of course, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. Tim Kalischer, how about you?
I go to Emily Kaplan for my golf news the same way she goes to me for hockey news. It is Jordan Spieth. He is the hot golfer. He is the guy who knows the course. He is comfortable again. He is a great pick.
Hold on a second. He's the hot golfer. It's his first win in 1,300 days.
He's hot.
How often?
He was playing well for 2 months before
Let
that.
Let me ask you this, Tim. How often does the person who wins the tournament before the Masters win the Masters?
Never happens, but that's okay. That's okay. That doesn't
Clinton
matter.
Yates, who's your favorite?
It's irrelevant.
Cam Smith went under 74 times at the last tournament and didn't win it. He also happens to have the best average on tour this year on par fives. Frank, how'd Bryson DeChambeau do last time when he tried to break the course? Didn't work out so well, did it?
All right, we're out of time. Too much time. We're going to continue to have a conversation about states and voting rights. Frank, I still want to have a word. Taking a break right here by ourselves next. Colorado, you can mail in. You can mail in. That's, I mean, come on.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Sixers rolled the Celtics last night. The win ties them for the one seed with Brooklyn right now. It's 6 weeks before the playoffs, months to go before they could be in the conference finals. For Brooklyn, Durant back tonight, but now Harden's out. Frank, this is your account. What are you buying? What are you selling?
Well, the one time the Nets shut down Embiid, it was Jared Allen defending him, and he got traded in the Harden deal. What I like about Philadelphia, Doc Rivers, believe it or not, wants to finish with the best record in the Eastern Conference. I know that sounds crazy, but guess what? If you're in that 2-3 hole, you probably get Milwaukee in the second round. So good for Doc and the Sixers going.
Are you saying Steve Nash and Brooklyn don't want to finish with the one seed, Frank?
Well, I think with the injuries, and I don't think you're going to see Kevin Durant's minutes. It was a double overtime game this year. He played 50 minutes. His minutes are going to be way down.
Yeah. Emily Kaplan.
I'm buying that the Nets could do something historic here. Dating back to the 1980s, every big three that's won a championship has played at least half of the season together, and the last seven to do it that did it in their first season together played an average of 70 games. Mm. We might see this team win with this big three playing like double digits, if that.
Or the flip side of that coin is we might not see them win. Tim Kalisha, how about you?
I'm buying that Philadelphia has a better team, plays better defense, has the more experienced coach, and those things are going to matter against the Brooklyn traveling all-star show, unless Brooklyn gets it completely together in the playoffs, and then they might be in trouble. But they haven't done that yet. They've only played seven games.
Clinton Yates, how about you?
Brooklyn is still putting the blame together as they fly, and even though that might end up being a vicious fighter jet, we don't know what's going to happen. The Sixers are 777 with a luxury liner in Joel Embiid. They look like they can win the NBA Finals for once. Pretty good squad.
Putting together the plane as they fly. That's great. I love that. We'll move on. Also from the court last night, Nuggets beat the Pistons. Five straight wins for Denver since the Aaron Gordon trade. Six overall straight in a row consecutively for Denver. Mike Malone after the game was happy with the team's offense, not so happy with the team's defense. So he was critical after last night. What are you buying? What are you selling from Denver's resurgence? Or maybe it's just plain surgence, Clinton.
Definitely a surgence. People forget last season what knocked them out of the playoffs was the shot of the year by Anthony Davis. It wasn't like they were some bad team. They had to figure it out earlier this season. This is a squad to be dealt with in the West for sure.
Tim Kalisha.
I think the meaningful thing that's happened lately isn't just Jamal Murray starting to play like he did in Orlando. It's Michael Porter being consistent, averaging 21 points a game in this winning streak. He is the X factor for that surge.
Emily Kaplan.
I mean, they didn't have Jamal Murray last night and they still won, but the new front court is plus 66 in 133 minutes and scoring 133 points per 100 possessions. Tony, they're the band E-word. They are.
Man, that was stat queen, Emily Kaplan and Frank Isola.
You all buried the lead. They're undefeated since they acquired Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is versatile. He can guard Kawhi Leonard. He can guard LeBron James. And here's the thing. If LeBron and Anthony Davis are not going to be 100%, the West is wide open. Why not Denver?
Who's going to tell LeBron that Frank says Aaron Gordon can guard him? That's what I want to know. Bill Plaschke right now is lining up for that. Kaplan, good run at the end there. Tim Kalisha, your stat about winning the tournament before the Masters and going on to win the tournament. How many times has it happened?
But it's like four.
It is four. Thank you. We just told you what it was during the commercial break. Four since 1934. All right. That's it for the two of them. Clinton Yates wants to show us his jersey. Stand up, Clinton. Let's take it for a test drive. Clinton's wearing a jersey with his own name on it. That's like wearing a
Clinton High School,
t-shirt.
Clinton, Mississippi, home of the Arrows.
All right.
Okay, shout out to Brian Fortenberry, the AD there. Love that guy.
Go down next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're a referee, and you just reffed a Champions League quarterfinal. Looks like the assistant ref, because he's got the flag. And you're giving a yellow card and a red card to Erling Haaland and asking him for an autograph.
Frank, I sold the first to you. What are you doing with that? And what do you think he's doing with that autograph?
Yeah, Man City would like to have that autograph. They want him. But you know what? If you're a referee, or in this case, assistant referee, you cannot be doing that. That is a bad look, especially in this day and age of gambling. It doesn't look good. Mm-hmm.
Glenn Yates?
In this day and age, when opponents trade jerseys, this is not that serious. There are real, actual problems in FIFA with match fixing. Guys trying to get things signed is no big deal. Chill out, Frank.
You're right. There are real problems with FIFA. But this is also, I mean, suspension could be in play here, right, Frank Isola? Would you argue that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Think about the NHL, we dealt with the referee. NBA, we dealt with referees.
Yeah. We'll move on. Oh, my favorite player in Major League Baseball right now, Akil Badu. Home run on his first pitch ever. Grand slam in his second game ever. Pinch hit walk-off in his third game ever. Today, he had RBI triple and an outfield assist. The start to a career. Is that the greatest start to a career ever, Clinton Yates?
Absolutely. He's also a Rule 5 draft guy, 5-tool Rule 5. That's how we do it. And his parents kept their masks on while they were celebrating his greatness. We love to see it.
Eric Abadu's first album, no relation, was Mama's Gun. That's a gun right there that he's got. But you know what? I was at opening day when Tuffy Rhodes hit 3 home runs for the Chicago Cubs. That's a pretty good start.
I don't even know what to make of Isola going Eric Abadu here.
They're not spelled the same either.
It's not spelled the same. I didn't even know he had that in his repertoire.
No. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know that.
Points. Yates, we move on. Let's remember this Aaron Rodgers final Jeopardy moment.
Did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question.
Scott Schufeld says he knew the answer, but he had already wagered 0, went for the joke instead. Frank, was it worth it?
I like him going for the joke. He missed it, though. The joke would have been, who decided not to run on third down? That was Aaron Rodgers. That's how you tweak the host. That's how you get it.
It's the best press we've gotten for the show since the late, great Alex Trebek passed. And here's a quick point. LeVar Burton, give him the job. Take a look. It's in a book. He's the one who should be doing it.
Right, guys. Still the 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Wow. Tom, well, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady sat down with an interview with Michael Strahan, and he said, you know what? The Patriot way wasn't the only way of doing things. No kidding, Tom. That doesn't mean that when you were in New England, their way worked. You sound like George Sedano with this whole Heat culture stuff. Yes, other systems work, but don't knock what happened in New England. It worked there, too.
Isola, going back at Sedano.
Let's go, Arrows.
We'll see you Monday.